bit of faithful participation, sometimes you see inconsistency and uneven attendance to the house of God. Sometimes as a person backslides, that they remain faithful. Oh, they'll come to church every Sunday, but they grow cold in their hearts. And they're just going through the motions and doing the right thing out of a sense of duty rather than love of Christ. A backslider is somebody that has left what the Bible calls their first love. They left their first love and they gradually, oh, it's very gradual, it's not generally all at once. They gradually begin to give their time and their energy and their talents and their substance to everything outside of God, outside of the church, outside of Christ. Backsliders, they tend to be the ones to quickly point out what's wrong with the pastor. They're the ones that are the most likely to quickly point out what's wrong with the Sunday school teacher, or what's wrong with the choir director, or just what's wrong with the church in general. They'll say things like, well, you know, he just doesn't handle this right, or I don't know why our church does this, or I don't know why our church doesn't do that. Oh, it's always couched in words showing as if they're really concerned. Oh, I'm concerned. You know, I think we need to do a particular thing, something maybe that we're not doing. If we don't do that, this church is never going to grow, or it's never going to be better, or whatever their perspective may be. Some may sit in church bodily, but their minds and their hearts and their spirits are thousands of miles away. We hear in our scripture text, we hear Jeremiah, we hear him pouring out his heart to a backslidden nation. Israel had been greatly blessed by God, but she'd gone off into sin and idol worship. Jeremiah was sent to preach repentance to them. As Israel had backslid, perhaps today some of you have backslid. God saved you. God has blessed you a thousand ways, but you've gone far from Him in your heart. You've grown cool in your mind, and your actions don't show the passion and the love you once had for Jesus. So today I want us to examine this message in three parts. What has God done for the backslider? What the backslider has done, and what God says to the backslider. So take the first point, what God has done for the backslider. Jeremiah, he reminded Israel of what God had done for them. God found them in bondage in Egypt. He heard their cries for help, and He brought them out of Egypt with miracles and a mighty hand. By His power, they overcame their enemies. He protected them from all harm. Is He doing that for you today? He had brought them into the promised land. He brought them to homes that they didn't even have to build, homes that they didn't have to purchase. He blessed them richly with abundance. And they repaid Him. Oh, they repaid Him by turning their backs on Him and going after strange gods or forgetting the God that brought them out. I guess that's really a picture of all backsliders, isn't it? They forget what God has done. They forget the grace and the love and the mercy and the joy of Christ in their heart, and they slowly drift away. You think about it. God found you and me on the road to hell. He picked us up. He saved us. He blessed us. He's blessed us with all the blessings of heaven. He's promised us a new home. He's promised He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's with us. Yet, when a backslider turns their back on God, they turn their back on God, they begin to pursue other gods just as Israel did. Oh, it's not some idol they're worshiping, but they're pursuing the god of money or the god of advancement or the god of achievement. Or they just put their lives on autopilot. We've all had those moments where on autopilot we just become self-reliant. We rely on ourselves rather than having a humble, broken, submissive heart that relies and depends on Jesus every single day. Whatever God you're following, you cannot serve two gods. Hear me. The Bible makes it clear, you can't serve two gods. It means you've turned your back on the one true God, the Almighty God, by the things you have allowed in your life to take His place. As parents, we know that sometimes children turn their back on their parents who's loved them and nurtured them and given them all they had. But this is small compared to a man or a woman turning their back on God. And that's what the backslider has done. When you think of the goodness of God and the grace of Christ, when you look back at all of His blessings, past and present, even the future blessings, when you think about having once known the incredible joy of Christ's love and fellowship, I ask myself, how can you continue to serve strange gods of this world, the stuff of this world? How can you continue to be cool and indifferent to the God that loves you so much? That takes us to the second point today, and that is what the backslider has done. Listen to what Jeremiah declared that Israel, in their backslidden condition, he points out specific things that Israel had done, and all these things are true of the modern backslider today. Number one, Jeremiah said that they played the harlot with many lovers. When a man's love and loyalty that belongs to his wife, or vice versa, when they play the harlot and they go out and consort with other lovers, they've betrayed the one that they've made their commitment and their love to. That's what Israel had done. All of her love and loyalty belonged to God, but she played the harlot by going after other gods. And the same is true for the modern backslider. Rather than continuing to give God first place in their heart and their lives, they push God back into a corner. They put everything else in the world ahead of Him. It's just as Israel was doing. It's the backslider playing the part of the harlot, consorting with the other things of the world instead of being true to your first love, our Heavenly Father. Secondly, Jeremiah declares that they lost their fear of God. That is a message that is rarely preached in our churches today. The fear of God, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we're not talking about a cringing fear that God's about to zap me down, just waiting for me to make a mistake. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about a reverent respect for our Heavenly Father. Many people have lost this today. They've lost their sense of reverence. For so many folks, God has become nothing more than a big old Santa Claus up in the sky, just waiting for when they call out to Him when they need something or they want something. But remember, a true father will punish his son or his daughter if that son or daughter is rebellious or disobedient. And must remember, our Heavenly Father will do the same thing if we rebel against Him. Third, Jeremiah says that they walked after the things which did not profit. We see that today. We see Christians hearing the call of the world and running after things in the world that bring no permanent, no eternal benefit. In fact, so many church members today, they do very little for the church, but they seem to have plenty of time for the activities of the world, pursuing only what is temporary. The fourth thing Jeremiah declared about Israel is that they had came to the place where they felt they didn't need God. Oh, that's true for the modern backslider. The backslider just gradually comes to that conclusion over a time of weeks and months, sometimes even years. They come to the conclusion, and without saying it out loud, they live their life as if this is how they feel. Well, I'm really getting along pretty well without God and without the church, and I'm just going to go on the way I am. But I'll tell you, the day is coming when you're going to need Him. You're going to need Him desperately. And how will it be with you then when you're so far from Him and you can't touch His hand and you can't feel His presence when you pray and you cry out to Him? The fifth thing Jeremiah brought up is that they had forgotten the Lord. They just forgot God. How is it possible? How is it that men and women can forget the Savior that died for them, that forgave them, Christ whose love was so incredible that He endured the cross for them? How can we forget that? How can a backslider forget that? But I believe that many still remember it in their minds. They haven't forgot it. It's still in their minds. But their hearts and their souls become dull and cold, like they've never heard of Jesus. Many people today are living just that way. That they may not even be living a life full of disobedience or a life full of sin. They get to the point, though, that God has no place in their daily living. He's just forgotten. Number six, Jeremiah declares that the children of Israel, that their prophets prophesied falsely, and the people loved it. Boy, is that happening in our churches today. Prophesied falsely, and the people loved it. The Bible tells us that the time will come when men will have itching ears, and they will not love to hear the truth. And there's a lot of ministers and preachers in pulpits today who'll only preach a portion of the Bible. They'll preach pleasant-sounding promises, and they'll never focus on a message of conviction and repentance. And that, yes, God is a God of love, but He's a God of wrath, and He's also a God of judgment. But people only want to hear the pleasant stuff. Oh, He's a God of love. Don't talk to me about a God of judgment. They only want something new, something shiny, something different. They don't care about the old-time religion. They want something more modern. I will tell you, times will change, but the message never changes. The only message that matters is preaching Christ crucified, that He rose from the dead, He ascended to the right hand of the Father, His grace and love forgive us of our sins, and He is coming back for us, the church. That's the message of the church. And remember that unless our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have no hope of heaven. We have no eternal life. Finally, number seven, Jeremiah said that they never came before the Lord and said, "What have I done?" A man is really in a bad condition when he can't see that he's doing anything wrong. Oh, it's really easy to see the splinters in the other man's eye, the Bible says, and never recognize the plank that's in our own eyes. Repentance is not just a one-time thing. It may be a daily exercise for Christians that need to call upon God, that feel the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in their daily living. I think every day a Christian should say, "Lord, have I done anything today that is not pleasing to You?" When we get the answer from God in our spirit, man, if it's an answer that says, yes, there's something in your life, then we should do everything we can to correct the situation immediately. Oh, there is no hope for the man who thinks he's always right, who never confesses his sin to the Lord. Now, all the things that I've referenced here this morning, and even more, things I haven't even brought up, they're all true of a backslider. If you're guilty of any of these things, if any of these things apply to your life, then my heart's cry is, let your heart be broken. Let yourself be humble before God today and ask Him for forgiveness. Make things right with our Father. And the third point today is what God has said to the backslider, what He still says to backsliders today. As we go back and we look at the book of Jeremiah, we see God asking the question through His prophet, "Have you found anything wrong in me?" This is God speaking. "Have you found anything wrong in me that would cause you to go astray?" And God is asking you this morning, He's saying, "Have you found anything wrong in me, your heavenly Father?" Jesus is saying, "Have you found anything wrong in me as your Savior, Jesus, that would cause you to leave behind the love that I have for you, to leave me out of your life. He says to the backslider, I've been good to you. Have I ever done you any harm? Is there any reason for you to go astray, to go away? How can you answer that this morning? How can you answer that? You know there is nothing wrong with God. Amen? You know there's nothing wrong with the love of Christ toward us. We say, oh God, how does that apply to me? We recognize the trouble's not with God. The trouble's not with Jesus. The trouble is with us, isn't it? But yet, so many folks will say, well, I haven't sinned. And many folks will just sit in complacency saying, well, you know, none of this really applies to me. There's some of the folks in this sanctuary today, and that's what's going on in your heart. Can I tell you it applies to all of us? Everyone in this room? All of us. When you know your heart is not right toward God, when you know that your heart is not right toward somebody else, and you know the passion and the love that you once felt is not there, it's gone, then you know you need to cry out to God and to make things right and ask the Holy Spirit to guide your heart into repentance. God says that the backslider ought to mourn over his sins like a father mourns over his only son. That's a heavy mourning. Well, in the very next chapter of Jeremiah, in chapter 4, God tells them these words in verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire. The Lord is saying in those words today, He's saying, just as He said to Israel, break up your fallow ground. What does that mean exactly, break up your fallow? How does that apply to us as individuals? Fallow ground is ground that's not been plowed. It's ground that's not been cultivated for a long time. The ground has grown hard. The ground is full of weeds and they haven't been cleaned out. And God is saying, your heart is hard. You haven't prayed. You haven't read my word. You haven't drawn close to me. You haven't wept over the condition of your heart, which is cold and lost. He's saying, if we'll listen, get the weeds out. Plow deep. Let the tears of repentance tenderize your heart and bring you back to that place to me. That's what God is saying to us today, if we'll listen, if we'll heed His words. I realize I'm probably not talking to anyone that has committed adultery. I pray that's true. Or committed theft or murder. But you don't need your heart to be forgiven of theft and murder or coldness. You need to focus and let the Holy Spirit show you about the coldness in your heart and the neglect in your heart and the indifference that is in your heart. Don't you need forgiveness for that selfishness, that envy, that critical spirit, that self-righteous, I've got it all together, I don't need other folks, I don't need God. Don't we need forgiveness for that? God never promises to walk with us when we're walking in sin or when we're walking in unforgiveness toward other folks. He never promises to answer our prayers unless we are abiding in Him. And unless we are at peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God told the Israelites that they would find punishment for turning their backs on Him. That they would be helpless when He sent the Chaldeans upon them. Walking in continual disobedience will bring consequences. It will. But we serve a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. Oh, His love and His word to us. His word to the backslider is, I love you. Return to me and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. Call upon me. I will forgive you. I can imagine God with a breaking heart, weeping over the backslider's sin and cold condition. But He still loves the backslider. And He pleads with a sob in His voice saying, come back to me, my child. I will forgive you. And I will restore to you the joy of my salvation. Is this message for you today? Is God calling you to leave out all that is wrong in your life and to return to Him with all your heart? It would be the greatest mistake you could ever make if you don't hear His voice. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today, the greatest mistake would be to ignore that voice and the tug of the Holy Spirit. God loves you forever. His love never ends. He loves you in spite of all your sins. He loves you in spite of the indifference and the coldness of heart. He loves you in spite of your backsliding. So I ask you, what is your response to Him this morning? A few years ago, I was privileged to pastor a single retired man. He began to attend Heritage Church, and he made Heritage Church his home church. He and I quickly became friends, and we would often meet for lunch, and we enjoyed sharing stories and visiting with one another. He shared with me that at the very first worship service that he attended at Heritage Church, that he had recommitted his heart to Jesus, that he had been a backslider, that he had destroyed his marriage, but that he had made a new and complete surrender and commitment to our Lord and Savior. In just a few short months, he lay in his deathbed at his home as a very aggressive form of cancer came upon him and quickly brought him down to death's door. In my last visit with him at his home before he died, just a couple of days before he passed away, I asked him, I said, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you came back to Christ? Aren't you glad that you know Him as your Savior? I can still see him looking up from that bed, looking in my eyes and said, oh yes, that is all that counts now. That's all that matters. A few days later, I looked down into his pale face in the casket, and I remembered one more time that knowing Jesus as Savior and serving Christ, that's all that matters when we come to the end of this life. It's all that matters. I wish I could get every backslider to see the things that cause you to turn away from God, that they don't count, they don't mean anything, they don't bring lasting joy, they don't bring happiness, they don't bring anything but just a temporary satisfaction. Oh, but when you return to a faithful and loving Savior, oh, He'll bring to you the peace, He'll bring to you the satisfaction, He'll bring to you the purpose of your life, He'll bring to you a joy that will be for all of eternity. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank You. We praise You for the Word of God as it challenges us, as it reaches out and grips our hearts and minds and reminds us of who we are in Christ and the love of God in us, and it shows us our condition. It shows us where we are in our walk with You. It shows the condition of our heart and our mind and our spirit. That is the work of Your Holy Spirit. God, by Your Holy Spirit today, touch hearts in this place of worship that need to return to that first love, that need to come back with the passion and the joy and the thrill of serving Jesus daily. That doesn't just leave the Bible and Christ on a Sunday-only basis, but every day has that wonderful walk with Christ. Father, by your Spirit, bring conviction in this place. By your Spirit, bring conviction to the minds and hearts that'll hear this sermon. Father, I pray that lives will turn, that hearts will come back to Christ, that joy will fill the emptiness and the coolness, that the indifference will become a passion. In Jesus' name, I thank you now for the work of your Spirit in our hearts and minds in this church today. Thank you, Jesus. With every head still bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, if this sermon, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today and you feel that tug and you know you're not where you should be with Christ and you know you need to do something to make it right, it may be a small thing, it may be an indifference or a coolness of heart, if that's in your heart and you realize that needs to be corrected, would you just quickly raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there anyone here today that lift their hand? Yes, I see that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, meet these needs, these hearts, these hands that were lifted, Father, by your Spirit. Cleanse and renew. Forgive and let your grace just fall upon them in a mighty way. We thank you now for that work in this place, the work of your love and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't you love the Lord today? Aren't you thankful for Christ that you know Him as your Savior? That you're going to have heaven as your home? You know, sometimes I see some of the things that happen in our contemporary events in our society, in the world, in our nation. You see all the stuff going on, and it's easy to get all caught up before you know it mentally or emotionally in things that are so disappointing, especially in our own nation. But yet, it's as if the Holy Spirit just kind of puts the brakes on in my mind, and my heart reminds me, this is going to end soon. This is not going to continue. It's going to be over. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be over. Christ is going to call us home, and we're going to be with Him forever. We're going to come back to this earth at the end of that tribulation. We talked about this Wednesday night. You know, we're not going to be part of the Bush administration or the Trump administration or the Biden administration. We come back to this earth, Jesus is going to rule and reign, and we're going to reign with Him in the Jesus administration. We're going to be in His administration on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll rule and reign with Him. Praise God. Aren't you glad we've got that to look forward to? Stand with me as we're dismissed today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us. First-time guest, returning guest. It's an honor to have you with us today. Brother Teddy Grissom, would you close us out in prayer, sir?